The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence and said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, to begin today, I wanted to answer a question I've been asked a couple times this week, and it's about the coronavirus, and here at Mass, are we going to do anything to minimize the spread of germs, such as stopping the sign of peace and stopping communion from the cup? And I wanted to let you know that after looking at this, I think we should continue on as we already are. We will continue to offer the sign of peace, but if you're uncomfortable shaking someone's hands, just raise your hand or give them a peace sign or kind of nod your head, do something like that that you rather not shake. And with communion from the cup, if you're uncomfortable wondering about if there's germs on the cup, just go buy it. You don't need to receive from the cup, but for those that would still like to, it'll still be available. I think in doing this, we're just taking some, first of all, some common sense precautions just going into this time. I can encourage you to continue to wash your hands regularly. If you have to sneeze or cough, to do it into your sleeve or arm. And if you feel ill or you're just not feeling well, to consider staying home from church. I know we don't like to do that, but if you are sick and if you are spreading something, it helps the rest of us if you stay away for a while till you're better, and that way we don't spread things. Just like in your workplace and in your schools, oftentimes it's better to stay home if you're sick than to come in and spread that to other people. I think we're going to get through this thing just fine, but if there's a need to take further precautions, we'll do that, and I'll wait to hear from the Archdiocese if they'd like us to do any additional steps. But at this point, they haven't put out any instructions or mandates on any of the parishes to start something, although some parishes have chosen to do some steps. But I think let's continue on here as we already are. And let's continue to pray for a quick end to the spread of the virus. Now, going into the gospel reading for the weekend. This gospel reading that we hear on this first Sunday of Lent is the typical one we hear as we start our Lenten journey. We hear how Jesus went into the desert 40 days and 40 nights. This is the pattern of our own Lenten journey, 40 days, 40 nights. And though we may not go into a physical desert, maybe spiritually we can consider ourselves walking with the Lord over these 40 days, trying to take out of our life distractions, preoccupations, really to spend time one-on-one with the Lord and listening to what God wants of us. I think that's one reason the Lord went into the desert for 40 days after his baptism. He really wanted that one-on-one time with God, God his Father, to listen, to discern his next steps. Right after this, he would go into more public ministry, preaching and healing. But before he did that, he really wanted that time of prayer and reflection. And that's a gift to us in this time of Lent, that we do that as well. In the midst of those 40 days, at the end of it, we hear that he is tempted. And being fully human and fully God, Jesus experienced temptations as we do. To experience temptations in life is not a sin. In fact, it's a very human experience to be tempted by too much of a good thing or tempted to do something that we know is wrong. And the pattern Jesus follows to resist these temptations in the gospel maybe can help us to find some encouragement to resist temptation in our life. First of all, the Lord is tempted by the devil to change stones into bread, to use the divine power he has to do something to feed himself, rather than to use it in service to others, as he will do later on the cross, to suffer and die for us. The devil tempts him, well, go ahead, use your power, show that you're the Son of God, turn the stones into bread. And the Lord says, I will not do that. I will not use my power for myself. In fact, he says, one does not live on bread alone. We live on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Sometimes our physical desires take over in our life, and we don't think about the more spiritual hungers we face. Maybe by feeding those spiritual hungers through relationship with God, we can be better able to resist the physical temptations. And in our lives, maybe we do have authority over people in our job, or we have influence in the world around us. And maybe we should reflect, am I using that power and influence to control others, to manipulate people? Do I like to use my freedom to control my life and to control other people? And if we are doing that, to maybe turn away from that and use our freedom and our influence for the good. Secondly, the Lord is tempted to put the Lord, his God, to the test as the devil takes him up to a high mountain, rather to the parapet of the temple, and says, throw yourself down. If God loves you, God will support you by protecting you from danger in this fall. In doing this, we hear how the Lord responds with an act of trust in God. The Lord says, I will not put the Lord, our God, to the test. This is quite a different reaction than Adam and Eve in the first reading. We heard in that first reading today how Adam and Eve didn't trust God's commands. God had told them, you can eat of any fruit in the garden, just this one tree, do not eat that fruit or you shall die. And yet the tempter comes to Adam and Eve and says, oh, you're not going to die. In fact, if you eat that fruit, you're going to be like God himself. And unfortunately, Adam and Eve believed that lie. And maybe they felt that God was keeping something from them, that God didn't want them to be fully happy or fulfilled, and so they didn't trust the relationship. Maybe that happens in our life too. We don't trust a relationship. We think somebody's keeping something from us that we want to have, and so we don't trust. Looking back at my life, when I think back when I was a little boy, I remember one time going up to my mom and dad, and I wanted something. I can't remember what it was. But I put him to the test, and I said, Mom and Dad, if you love me, you'll get that for me. You'll do this for me. I don't know, it was probably just a small thing, but I remember the look on their faces. They looked quite perplexed that I would challenge them that way. And they said, John, we love you, but we're not going to give you everything you want. You can't manipulate us like that. And I thought, wow, they told me where I stood. And in fact, I think they sat me down and they started telling me to remind me of the things they were already doing, feeding me, sheltering me, clothing me, doing all these things. And I was quite, you know, embarrassed. I was ashamed that I would do that, tempt them or test them like that. But maybe we all kind of give in to that desire at times to even test God, to say, God, if you really loved me, you wouldn't be doing this to me. Or I wouldn't be having to go through this thing in life. Maybe God is loving us in ways that we don't fully see, and we need to just continue to trust what God is providing for us, even in the midst of crosses and suffering, and know that God, we can trust God to get us through it. The last temptation is for the Lord Jesus to bow down in worship to Satan. And if he would do that, Satan says, I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world and their magnificence. And the Lord says, no, only God deserves our worship. This is a temptation in our life too, to look at the things of the world and to want to have everything we can get, to even in a way bow down in worship to the things we have or the things that we can own and control. If we're doing this, I think we're putting those things in the wrong spot. We're elevating them too high. God blesses us with so many things in life to use appropriately, to have pleasure with them and enjoyment, but not to allow them to be an idol in our life that we worship. And that takes control. It takes good decision making. It takes, at times, I think, in like Lent, where we can give away some things. We can be generous through almsgiving to sort of put a check on all the things we have and to realize that we need to leave some emptiness in our life in order to let God fill it and in order to be generous with other people. I think there's a lot of good lessons then in this first Sunday of Lent, the way that the Lord was tempted and to know that we are going to be tempted. There's going to be times in life that we don't see it coming, but it's going to rise up in front of us. And so daily prayer and walking with the Lord these 40 days can really help us, with God's grace, to say no to temptation.